Hello, and welcome to episode 320 of Awards Daily's Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and I'm joined by the other two M's. M's, let's go around the cooler, tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Joey, we'll start with you this week.
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
Megan?
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me on Twitter at HeyDudeMeg.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. So, guys, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Have anything going on lately?
You mean the Golden Globes?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
I'm trying to figure out how Hilaria Baldwin had a baby in 5 months. Did you hear about that today?
No, I did not.
So she had a baby in September, Eduardo.
Can you, anytime you give an update, can you do it in an
accent? I have to do the Hilaria.
No, but can you do the whole thing in that accent?
No, I can't. Not, because then I'll have, it'll be,
get out. You know,
people will be like, that's bad appropriation. Really bad. But and so she had a baby back in September. And then now she just announced that she had another baby. And people are trying to figure out how.
The math. Math don't work out there.
And it also, so people were like, oh, maybe she just, you know, had a surrogate or, you know, or adopted. Yeah. But then back in November, she said that she wasn't interested in expanding her family. So it's like, what happened?
Well, if old school sitcoms have taught me anything, one of her children had a baby has had a baby in high school or junior high, and she has taken it as her own to protect the reputation.
Mad Men, Elizabeth Moss.
Yes, exactly.
That's exact. You're right. So now I'm going to be looking at, well, maybe his, doesn't Alec have a daughter? Ireland?
You mean that ignorant slut
little,
or whatever he called
piggy,
her?
The little
yes,
piggy.
Yes, the little piggy.
Yeah, don't you remember those phone calls? He called her a little pig.
Yeah.
Oh no, I didn't know. Did he call her an ignorant slut?
No.
That was Clarence improvising.
So I was telling Megan before the phone call started that if my dog is very barky now, so you might hear my dog contribute to the Golden Globes discussion. A warning.
Totally fine.
Or I can just do a Sasha impression and be like, oh, it's my dogs. I'm so sorry, it's my dogs.
As soon as we mention, if he starts barking at about Andra Day, we'll be like, stop it. We know everybody's talking about it.
Well, considering the dog is a corgi, he is absolutely welcome to talk about The Crown.
The Crown, yes.
My husband, anytime someone brings up anything from The Crown, he's always just like, why aren't they talking about the corgis? And I'm like, oh, my God.
Because that was season one.
Oh, my mistake.
I would love to see The Crown, from the point of view of the dogs.
It would be really short.
It would just be literally short. There's our master. Okay. Oh, there she is.
She has, 80
That's
of them.
Great.
I mean.
Yeah. Remember the one of them just died recently, the oldest line or something like that. Like, I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Or the one that she was given. No, it can't be the one that she was given because that would be an extraordinarily old dog. I don't know. It was something important like that. You know, Joey, last night we were all talking about, we all had a chat during the Globes last night with some other members of Awards Daily TV. And we were talking about Gillian Anderson and how she did not. Did the corgi fall over and die?
No. Hold on,
mine. Did you fall over and die?
Yeah. Hold on. He's very
Can you imagine Joey would not fall over and die without some sort of noise?
I was gonna say, yeah.
If I fell over and died, everyone would hear about it. I'm sorry, say that again.
No, we brought up the fact that Gillian Anderson did not unveil her completely British accent, although 2 weeks ago I had seen her interviewed and she was very much having tea with the Queen with her accent. And it made me think today, I was thinking about it today, it reminded me of the Birdcage. And that line where Nathan Lane says something about he doesn't know where he is until he's heard his name pronounced. Yeah. I bet Gillian Anderson doesn't know where she is until she figures out what accent comes out of her mouth.
That's very, very accurate.
It's so funny to see her, like, second half of her career. Like not, I mean, she's had a few iterations. Like, there was the sci-fi X-Files, which is, like, completely different than what she's doing now. She's just a really interesting actress. Like, if you think about it, if you look at Golden Globes 1995 with red-haired, you know, she's so different and has this whole new kind of, how would you say it? Like, reputation now. It's really interesting.
Well, there's a ton of theater work that we have never seen her do. Like,
yeah.
Dubois.
I would have loved to have seen her Blanche Dubois.
She did a stage version of All About Eve. She was in, I remember when she was, maybe still doing the X-Files, or I mean, I guess, does the X-Files ever end? Like, she did, like, prestige period dramas. And everyone's like, this is, she chases the aliens. Whoa, what's going on?
Yeah, that was, like, she did an Edith Wharton adaptation, I think.
Yes, she did. I wanted to see it, yeah. That was, like, one of her big, that was, I would say, a transitional film for her.
Yes, that was
the first
time. I
remember when she did it, yeah.
Did she get a Golden Globe for that? A Golden Globe nomination for that house?
So I remember, Joe, you were so excited to see that. Like, that's all you talked about.
I was. That was, like, we were in, like, 10th grade, and I'm pretty sure I was like, all right, big time faggot. So I was like, we have to see The House of Mirth, the Gillian Anderson and Anthony LaPaglia.
I didn't even see it. You went to see it on your own. I didn't even see it.
Yeah. And yet the friendship lasted.
I know.
She's like, well, at that point, she was just like, all right, well, that's... I guess.
Let's see what happens.
While Joey's looking up whether or not Gillian Anderson got a Golden Globe nomination for the House of Mirth, I almost said House of Mirth.
House of Mirth.
I don't think she did, because I'm not seeing it on the page.
I don't think
so. She was second place to the National Society of Film Critics, and she was the runner-up for a New York Film Critics Circle, which is still pretty good.
So. Yeah. We are talking about last night's Golden Globe Awards, mostly the television categories, but we will probably undoubtedly talk about some of the film stuff. I think that's pretty much what we're focusing on for this podcast. And then, of course, we'll close things with the flash forward to the media that we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. So, Joey.
Yes.
I know you must have something to say about the Golden Globes.
Which...
I have something to say.
Megan, I'm sorry.
Are you talking about a specific thing that you know I'm a bitch about? Oh, okay.
Just, I know you must have something queued up in your arsenal ready to go.
I feel like my opinion overall of the Golden Globes from nominations to winners, very wrong for Joey Moser. I thought that the Golden Globes, no, they're never going to pick Ozark. They've never gone for Ozark. Got like 4 nominations. I was like, all right. And then like later, I was on the Next Best Picture podcast talking about winner predictions. And I was talking with Amanda Spears. And I was just like, Catherine O'Hara is not going to win Best Actress. Schitt's Creek's not going to win Best Comedy Series. You're fucking crazy. And then lo and behold, hello. I think the only other thing I'm kind of sad about is... Kaley Cuoco didn't win. I was really looking forward to seeing her win.
Yeah.
Season 2!
Yeah, I did okay on the TV side. I did not do well with the film side. And I think I was trying so hard to predict where they were going to curve to the left or curve right or make their crazy sort of traditional Hollywood Foreign Press Association picks. And... I think my mistake was doing that literally in almost every category, but they remain historically, like, I know a lot of people predicted things really well in both categories, in both genres, and I think that's fantastic, but they are incredibly difficult to predict. I think I've said this before, you shouldn't take joy or pleasure in anything dealing with the Hollywood Foreign Press if you pick it, because you just happen to pick... You just happen to be lucky. Like, it's so hard to predict.
there was something where I saw some people being like, I told you Rosamund Pike was going to win. I was like, you didn't actually think Rosamund Pike was going to win. That was a long shot. Just admit it. It's fine.
And literally nobody called Jodie Foster for the Mandalorian.
No.
For the Mauritanian. Jodie Foster. Mandalorian.
Now, if you said Apple TV or Disney, goddammit, if Disney Plus was doing the Mandalorian with Jodie Foster, you best believe that I would tune into that shit.
But, I mean, no idea. I mean, you know, it's, we have to remember these are 87 people. 87
white
people, which, well, they're all actually white. There's some Asian.
Okay, non-black, I should say. I'll specify.
Yes.
I do think they clearly, like, were kind of, like, not that I think some of these votes were bad, per se, but I do think they tried to be more inclusive, mm-hmm. and it was like they kind of have their tail between their legs, like, we're sorry, like, we'll try better, like, you know. I feel like some of the picks were like that, but then I don't know, but this was just, overall, I did not enjoy this Golden Globes at all. I've never... Golden Globes are my favorite. Joey knows that. Oh, Joey's an Oscar guy. I'm a Golden Girl. Golden Globes girl. Like, that was always our thing. And I was so bored by this ceremony. I feel like Tina Fey's right. It could have been done through email. Like, I just wanted to know who won. I didn't need to see them interacting with the poor first responders. Like, I mean, I get they were trying to be cute, but the Emmys did it so much better. The Emmys were so much better.
Yeah, and it's not like they didn't have time to plan for it. I mean, they had ample. I mean, they knew that they were going to do this. And, you know, it's just – it's a bad thing. There were a lot of people said what you just said on online last night, which is basically – remember the year that they had the writer's strike, and so they couldn't have somebody writing witty repartees.
Right.
So they did a memo, basically, a newsletter that said, here is our winners. We wanted that. That's what they were saying. And that's not a good sign.
No. I think one of the things, too, I didn't like was, like, where you think they're going to go to commercial and they have, like, next up, here's who's going to be next. And then they just kind of let the camera stay on them and, like, let's see some awkward conversation with them.
That
and it's like Brady, it's like the Brady Bunch squares talking to each other. Nobody wants to see that. They just want to see them looking around, like, you know, and then you cut. But they were like, hey, how are you? Good. Like, so it was just awkward.
I actually interviewed someone today, the director of, yes, I had to watch The Croods, the director of The Croods, A New Age.
You mean Golden Globe nominee, The Croods?
Yes. So he was
Isn't
Golden
it the
Globe
nominee. The Croods 2?
No, it's The Croods, A New Age.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you.
That's okay. Yes. I asked him, that was my first question, as I was like, what was it like? Was it as awkward for you as it was for us watching?
What did he say?
So he said they did this really weird thing where they were in a waiting room before they would announce, and you could not speak to each other. You could see everybody else in the waiting room, but you weren't, everybody was muted. So you're basically staring at other people on camera waiting to them, but you can't talk to them. And then all of a sudden they would say, okay, now you're live. And then they open it up and you can talk. And that's why we could hear people going, oh, hey, how are you? It's because they'd been looking at each other for 10, 15 minutes, but they couldn't talk.
Is that why, like, I noticed that Jason Sudeikis did this, and then was it John Boyega who did this, where they were like, can I talk?
Yeah.
Should I go? Like,
oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it was very awkward. But anyway.
Speaking of Jason Sudeikis.
I was going to say something. Did he say that before or after his bong hits?
I do think he was high. I do kind of think he was high, which is fine. You're over there by yourself. You're broken up with your Olivia Wilde. But I've never been so disappointed to hear from them. Like, you had said something in our chat, like, could a Golden Globe speech kill an Emmy nomination? And I was so worried. And I'm like, and obviously I was like thinking to myself, oh, well, maybe he just wasn't ready for live TV. I'm like, wait a minute. He was on live TV for how long? Every Saturday night. And I don't know if it was the time difference or he just didn't care. But I'm like, you know what? Everybody cares. everybody is, you're making TV because you want it, but you also want the awards too. I don't care what anybody says. You want people to like it. You this is something that you get excited about. But it was such an awkward speech, and I was just so like, oh, I really wanted to, like, you know, you're waiting to hear from him, and you're like, oh, okay. And then Don Cheadle was really like kind of a jerk about it with the wrap it up stuff. I thought that was really awkward, and like maybe I read that maybe they're kind of friends or something, but still, like, that was his moment. I thought that was weird.
It was really, really uncomfortable.
Yeah. So many speeches were uncomfortable. Yeah. That one was especially, though.
It was. And then I saw a lot of criticism of other people, like criticism of Rosamund Pike because of what, you know, but just because they thought she gave a rambling speech. And I'm like, but they're not prepared for this. She wasn't prepared. Right. And that's actually kind of liked hers because it was genuine shock and surprise. It wasn't like, I didn't think I was going to win, but here's my 45-second speech already prepared with this on this tiny little note card. It was literally, she was floored, had no idea she was
going to win. So was Jodie Foster.
Yes.
She was, because I saw somebody say, oh, she didn't even clap for Glenn Close. And then somebody commented like, oh, she didn't even know she was on camera. I think she was like playing with her dog when Glenn Close was announced or something. Like, and then she won and was like, oh my God, like I literally have nothing. You could tell she had nothing planned. She's sitting there and it looks like her pajamas with her wife. And she's just like chilling with her dog. Like it was really, I thought it was really adorable, but also I felt bad for her too a little bit.
I like that Jodie Foster's pajamas matched the kerchief around her dog's neck.
Oh, that's so cute. I also like that Helena Zengel from News of the World just was, like, angry with a beret. Like, that was my favorite.
I mean, when you were, like, how old is she? Like, 13?
I am still angry with a beret.
I feel like I've seen you angry with a beret when you were 13 years old.
Yeah.
We were in home group together.
So. Yeah. I love that. I also love Daniel Kaluuya. Oh my God. He's just adorable when he was like, you did me dirty. You did me dirty. I thought that was great too.
I'm always, always surprised when I remember that he's British.
I
always forget and I don't know
why. I love his accent so much. I love it.
That
like,
is a beautiful man.
Yeah. He and his accent just like takes him to a new level. I don't know. It's just like, he's very charming. Speaking of other speeches, I thought that Chadwick Boseman's wife's speech was just heartbreaking.
Yeah, that was the, and I say this with, that was the moment of the evening. That was what made it sort of all worthwhile. Not that she was going through that sorrow and that and reliving that loss, but that, you know, here is someone who was genuinely touched by this. Who was somebody who, you know, this was impacting their life, and this was a touching memoriam to her lost husband and to, you know, a great actor. So that was definitely, you know, I kept thinking about, we should just have this on a piece of paper, but a piece of paper is not going to give you that.
Right.
But everything else could have gone.
Yeah. Like everything else, it could have been 2 hours. It could have been an hour and a half.
There was some, oh God, I can't even remember the worst bit that there was, but there was something with, oh, the Zoom calls to the doctors to like,
surprise
them. That was awkward.
And I was like, what is happening?
And I guess the lady didn't know who Andrew Rannells was like, okay. Did you know that one? Is that what she said? She was like, hi, I'm Andrew Rannells. Okay.
I thought that was a bit. Do you think that was,
I think
it was
probably genuine.
Yeah. I don't think, she didn't know who he was. No. She probably hasn't watched a lot of Girls.
Well.
And he's like, somebody that like, I feel like my parents wouldn't know who he is. And my parents seem to know everybody in Hollywood, you know, and not saying that he's not like a known actor, but he's very much like, you know, you and I, us three, we know him because he's, you know, amazing in so many things. But I think he's somebody who's not necessarily a household name.
Right.
Yeah.
I would agree. But let's go through the winners. on the TV side. Actually, before we do that, do you want to comment on anything on the film side? Well, we talked about Jodie Foster, obviously. Andra Day was the other big surprise.
I gasped when Andra Day won.
I screamed and then I started laughing.
And I did too!
Not because I don't think that Andra Day's performance is worthy. God, I think she's so amazing in that movie. But as soon as that happened, I like couldn't get to my phone fast enough to call Megan. Like it was like a whoa, 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 moment to try to get to my phone to call Megan.
It's because of the dialogue on Twitter where, you know, this is Carrie Mulligan's to lose. She's going to win this. This is going to be like, you know, I saw a lot of people today saying, well, now she's not going to sweep like all the awards. Okay. And I'm like, okay, guys, like, this, it just was like, I hate to say it's schadenfreude, I guess, but like, I just liked seeing, like, first of all, the women's awards were all kind of like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
So that was kind of exciting. Like, I thought it was exciting to see something that you don't expect. But I do think, well, I haven't seen Pieces of a Woman. I do think, and I haven't seen Billie Holiday, but I do think the other three women are all worthy of it. So, so it's not like Carrie Mulligan wasn't worthy of it, but
it's also just sort of like some of the, not all of the reaction, but some of the reaction is also just like, it's just awards. It'll be okay.
Like, yeah. Like people were melting down.
Like it was sort of like, there was, I think it was a banner on the site at one point where maybe it wasn't, it was like awards really don't matter. Like they do in a certain sense. I completely understand that, but it's sort of like, just because something doesn't win doesn't take away your love and appreciation of something.
Although I did feel Carrie Mulligan did look disappointed.
She looked sad.
Yeah, she looked sad.
And I wasn't sure if she was sad or just British.
Yeah. Glenn Close looked like when Glenn Close lost, she also looked a little like, oh, there it goes.
Not again.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting with Andra Day is, it's, you know, she's completely worthy of winning an award for that role. The movie itself is kind of trash, but she is phenomenal in it. But what's interesting is that she doesn't have a SAG award. She's not shortlisted on the BAFTA. So does she actually carry this momentum forward into an Oscar nominee and to win an Oscar? I would say it gives her that nomination. I think she probably sealed up that fifth slot.
This is such a weird year. I want to say really that, but then I don't know. Like, who knows? Like, are people going to be upset that, you know, I mean, does Amy Adams still have a shot? Who knows? Like, or are we going to see some sort of upswing for Maria Bakalova because she didn't win, you know? Is she going to get thrown support?
I saw everyone say that she's not going to get nominated. No,
I saw that too, and I was like, "Really?"
But wasn't
I saw people saying, "All you people thought she was going to be up for an Oscar," and I was like, "What?"
What?
Well, she's still nominated at SAG, so that's
right. I'm like, this isn't over for anybody. Like, it just means that we don't know. Like,
we know less. Globes, guys. Yeah,
and we know less now. It's actually exciting. Really, it is.
Yeah,
we really have no idea. So enjoy the ride.
and maybe it's just because it's the first televised award show that we've gotten in a long time. Maybe that's why people's emotions are so high. But it's also just got, it's like, guys, it's the Golden Globes. Like, dial back.
Like, this is like one step up from the Teen Choice Awards.
Plus, we've got we've got two more months until the Oscars. So, there's plenty of time.
Anything can happen.
Yeah, exactly. It just means that I would argue that this week, if Oscar voters haven't seen Billie Holiday or The Mauritanian or I Care a Lot, that has these titles have gone toward the top of the pile.
Yes, I would agree.
Now they'll stand on their own merits, which is good.
Is Jodie Foster on the short list for BAFTA?
Yeah, I think she was. Mauritanian did pretty well there.
Yeah, she did. Also, Yeah, Maria Bakalova's on there too. So I know that Rosamund Pike and Andra Day aren't on there, but I mean, Priyanka Chopra Jonas is.
Well, the whole thing with Rosamund Pike is I think that people just weren't talking about that movie until she got a Golden Globe nomination. Like, SAG, I don't even think they've seen it.
Well, I wondered if that's the same thing that when I think Jalal was saying that, you know, the Regina King thing is like it was. I think someone actually said that screeners to If Beale Street Could Talk didn't go out. And that's why she didn't get a SAG nomination. I wonder if that's the same thing for Billie Holiday, because I feel like there was like one round of, you know, screenings or screeners and then not a lot other stuff. But I wonder, though, if, you know, quote unquote, regular people are going to, you know, respond to I Care a Lot, because it for a while, for at least a week, it was the number one thing on Netflix. And it's number three now. So maybe it'll bounce back up to number one. I don't know. So I don't know.
We'll see. Anything else you want to talk about on the film side?
No.
All right. On the TV side.
I like how we do it as like little mice. Like, no.
It's like you're doing this fucking podcast with puppets every week. I don't know how you're doing. It's sort of like the Bad Idea Bears from Avenue Q.
I was just thinking about Avenue Q. I was looking today at our predictions, and it looks like most everybody on the site got about 7. Some people had 6, and Jalal had 8, but we all came in somewhere around 7. And I think this goes for film too. I don't think you can argue any of these wins, right? Even the ones that we didn't necessarily predict, they were second runner up in our.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing was out of the ordinary. Nothing was out of left field on the TV side.
Mm-mm.
We were, you know, for those who perhaps have listened to the podcast, you know that we, for the past couple of episodes, when we've talked about the Golden Globes, we have been back and forth on Hugh Grant and Mark Ruffalo, knowing that HBO was going to take home that award. But, you know, was it going to be Mark Ruffalo? Was it going to be Hugh Grant? It turns out The Undoing did go home empty handed.
Yeah.
There was only, I think, one category where none of us got it right. It was supporting actor?
No, you picked John. No, Jalal picked John Boyega.
Me, Jalal, and Shadon got John Boyega. There was one where I was like, no, it was best actor in a limited series because none of us picked Mark Ruffalo. A lot of us had, like, Jordan had Jeff Daniels, Ben and David had Ethan Hawke. And the rest of us had Hugh Grant. And then I feel bad because I basically talked Shadon out of picking Mark Ruffalo, I feel like. So I feel like her numbers would have been a little bit higher if she, I think she may have almost tied Jalal if she wouldn't have listened to my horrible, horrible advice. So I'm sorry, Shadon.
Next year, next time we do predictions like this, I'm going in with my predictions. I'm writing them down. I'm putting them in ink before I talk to anybody else, and that's what I'm going with. Because we do that. We end up changing our. Although I don't think I would have changed anything.
I think you were onto something with the Brendan Gleeson one, which is why I went with that. Because I was looking back at like who wins in this category, and it is usually an older white dude. Mm-hmm. But I realized that that's where I think, not that I think John, I haven't seen Small Axe, but not that I think he's undeserving. I love John Boyega, but I think that here it's might have been like, you know, maybe Golden Globes are like, let's not pick the old white dude this time. Or maybe the votes between Brendan Gleeson and Donald Sutherland split, you know?
He has the advantage of being not really a supporting actor in that series with the way that Small Axe is being campaigned and the placement of everyone, because he's in his quote-unquote episode or his movie. He's the lead of the movie. But I imagine that they're putting everyone in supporting to sort of, I don't know. I would have to look at that. I don't think it's on the Amazon site, the sort of breakdown. But I feel like, at least from a lot of things that I've seen, they singled out his movie, Red, White, and Blue, sort of from the beginning, like before it even came out, it was on their FYC site as Small Axe is a going to be campaigned as a limited series. It was like Small Axe was next to another picture of his individual movie. So I feel like they're pushing that one pretty hard already.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, just everybody predicted, obviously, Gillian Anderson. I mean, there are several categories where we all of us got it right. You know, limited series, limited actress, supporting actress. I want to talk about the Emmys here in a little bit, but let's just go through these. We already talked about limited actor. What happened with comedy actress?
I think it's interesting that I would have to look because I was trying to find... I started looking and then I saw something shiny and then I didn't finish research on it. That I know like last year, I wanted to know if this is like the quote unquote oldest season to win series and actress in the same year because
that seems like last very year, specific.
Like, you know what I mean? Like it's... Like, usually, you know, a lot of our thinking is they pick the flashy new thing. But, like, Schitt's Creek has been on for 5-6 years. They don't typically do that. They don't typically do, like last seasons, really. I guess you could sort of, I mean, Fleabag. But I feel like, to a certain extent, Fleabag feels almost like a limited series almost. Just because it, like... Nothing came for the first season, like Transparent early, Brooklyn Nine-Nine early, Girls early, Modern Family early, Glee early, 30
Here's
Rock,
what I
extras,
think.
Yeah.
I think that Catherine O'Hara is the, what would you say, the orange in the bag of apples here or whatever. Because all the other like ones are like the ingenue, so to speak, mm-hmm. the one that you always talk about, Joey. And she's the one who's not. And I wonder if just like... That like they all canceled each other out, like, and she rose to the top.
Yeah, I kept thinking that because each one is like a young, fresh face. Not, I mean, Kaley Cuoco has been on one of the most popular shows of all time, but
right.
But every other one, that's probably right. Like, and you have to sort of invert the thinking of the category almost.
Yeah.
Right. And the comedy series award, that's probably the biggest. Shock of the evening for me was the Ted Lasso losing that because
I thought that was shocking too.
It had all the momentum. It had it's a British set show, so it has that international flair to it. It is about football, and
it's almost like they saw his speech and made it and scratched it out at the last second.
God.
Yeah, but hindsight 2020 probably should have known that there was a warning sign there when Hannah Waddingham wasn't nominated.
Yeah.
I kept thinking that. I kept wondering. I was like, are we... I know that we all had that thinking of, like, it's the type of show that they would totally go for. And it totally makes sense. And I'm a little surprised.
Yes. But I don't think that this hurts... its Emmy chances, probably, but mostly because it's a really fun show, and there just aren't a lot of comedies this Emmy cycle.
Right.
I mean, that's no slam against it, but it's just there's just not a lot to choose from. I think it's going to get a lot of nominations in the Emmy season.
I will say, sort of as a sidebar, I know we're going to be publishing the Emmy tracker here in the next couple of days. Mm-hmm. And when I was working on my selections, I got to a couple of the categories and I was like,
All
right.
Comedy Especially supporting because, actor is yes, very rough. That is the worst one.
But a leak.
Yeah. And then drama series, I think Ben and I were the only two to predict The Crown to sweep. But I was very excited when Josh O'Connor won because he cried, didn't he? Wasn't he crying?
Yeah, it appeared to be.
Exhausted.
Yeah, because it's like 4 a.m. for him.
Yeah, I was like, those poor British people. Get the British awards.
Which it was 2:30 or whatever for Jason Sudeikis, too.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
But Al Pacino apparently did not have that excuse, and neither did Donald Sutherland, but they looked like they were up way after bedtime.
Yeah, that was yeah.
that was rough. But I'll just use this as a segue.
I don't think they have ring lights at home. That's just
I'll use this as a segue into talking about the Emmys. If anybody's betting against the Crown in Emmys, we've talked about this before, but this is huge.
Yeah. I still have to watch it. So I'm getting there.
I still think you would like it.
I probably would. I'm trying to get back to WandaVision too, because I sound like I said long division. WandaVision. But it is on my list of things, but it's just, I'm trying. It's been a hard week just with everything going on. So
of course, Ted Lasso still in there. Flight Attendant, I think, will still be in there.
Yeah.
Emily in Paris probably gets nominated. I mean, you know, what else is there? I mean, you know.
I will create a show and pitch it somewhere. I will do the work.
But we can talk about that next week when we have our first glimpse at the Emmy tracker of because those ballots just went out to the team. So we'll just wait and see what comes of that. Did you guys get the email that I sent you from National Geographic?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Did you get it on your own?
No.
Yes.
Okay. Well, hopefully you can RSVP to it.
Yes.
For Aretha, the Genius season.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yes. It looks good. She looks remarkable.
I remember actually saying to the publicist at National Geographic when I was at the Napa Film Festival, and we were talking about Aretha, and I was like, Cynthia Erivo should play Aretha. She's like, ooh. So I kind of want to take credit that she passed that along to.
You should.
I think that's correct.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. What else do you want to talk about with the Globes?
I just have a question. I guess we don't have to spend too much time on it. But did you guys, I know Megan is a big fan of Ricky Gervais, but I was wondering how you thought Amy and Tina Fey were.
I felt like they were kind of unnecessary, and I love them. But I just feel like when it comes to something like this, they should have just kept the basics, I think. It was weird that they were in two different, like at one point they were announcing something and Tina was late on announcing it and Amy was early. It was just weird. And they were still funny, but I still think Ricky's the best, but how much I love Tina and Amy, but I just didn't think the whole thing worked.
I agree. And part of that is because I think the production values for this were just exceptionally bad.
Yeah.
I kept wondering, did the people in the room, those poor first responders, please tell me they licked their dogs as a dog knocked over all of my coffee table books almost onto his head.
Were they drunk?
No, I just mean, like, don't you remember? I mean, they even said it in the show. They usually give him, like, a swag bag and all this other stuff. And then I was sort of wanted to know, like, I remember every year you see them with like the giant thing of champagne and stuff on there. I was like, and I didn't see it because I think they have these tiny little tables and they wanted the little glowing like circle centerpieces. They look like little mini Epcot centers on their tables to like, you know, be super pretty and stuff. And I was like, please tell me, you know, give them some booze. Like, let them be as drunk as Meryl Streep.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they had, I don't know, because every time I saw them in the audience, they had their masks on.
And they didn't look like they were having very much fun.
No. I mean, why would it, I mean, it's a good thing that they did. I mean, of course you want to honor the first line defenders, but the celebrities in the room, they were just up there presenting on stage. Nope, there was no winners. There was no electricity in the room. It's just basically them, these people, poor people trapped in this room for 3 hours.
And it also did seem like it could be a super spreader event for them. Like,
well, they're probably all vaccinated.
Maybe. It just didn't seem like, I know they kept saying this was safe. I'm like, okay, but like, is it? Like, I don't know.
They probably got a really nice night at the Beverly Hilton.
Beverly Hills. I hope they did.
No.
So. I did think, because I watched a little bit of the pre-show where they had Susan Kelechi Watson, and I can't remember who else it was. Like, oh, it was Jane Lynch, like, posting 6 feet apart, and like, we're outside the hotel. And I was like, there's no one there.
Yeah. That was really painful.
It was weird.
It was weird. It was weird.
And I did not know that Emerald Fennel's name is Fennel.
Oh, did not know that either.
But, like, Jane Lynch was making a point to pronounce it Fennel. It's like Emerald Fennel.
There we go. All right, anything else?
No.
All right, well, let's move to the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. And Megan.
So, I'm watching 1,000 Pound Sisters. I am watching The Challenge on MTV, which had a cliffhanger last week. Also, I am really excited for some of Paramount Plus's stuff.
Yeah.
The Real World's coming back this week, I believe, Thursday, with the original, the Homecoming New York like season, which is exciting with the original cast. And then I'm still reading The Run of His Life, the O.J. Simpson book, and listening to Megan Thee Stallion. And that's about it for me this week.
Joey?
Oh, and I need to catch up on WandaVision and Long Division and The Crown and finishing up Drag Race UK. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for your time. I'm gonna keep reading Tales of the City. I'm still reading that. Took a little break from it. And then another show drops on Netflix. I think it's a limited documentary series called Murder Among the Mormons, which I have no idea what it's about, but I'm tuning into it because of that title. I
love that alliteration.
Murder Among. And then I also want to check out the Real World thing. I actually said to somebody that that I feel like we should do a Real World sort, not like redo, but sort of a retrospective almost. Like, I want to watch all of the old seasons.
What? That would take forever.
It would take forever. But I mean, I randomly Googled something about Real World New Orleans, and like all of the episodes are on YouTube.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That one's a good one.
That is a good one, yeah. And I mean, that was the one where, like, I fell in love with Danny Roberts because
I remember that's how you told me. That's how you came out to me. Was that you said you remember Danny's secret? That's my secret too.
That's how I came out. Oh, that's
yeah. That's how you came out to me.
I met him once in Pittsburgh. He came to speak. He was like, "I'm gay," and I went to go see him. It was at the University of Pittsburgh, and I have a picture with him. And
that's right.
I look like a fucking nerdy fuck because I am wearing an Aida shirt from the original Broadway show. I'm wearing an Aida shirt and my hair is really curly and I have glasses on and I think I have like a rainbow something hanging around my neck. It was the 2000s, early 2000s. But it's a lot. I look like a skinny bridge troll next to a adorable Danny Roberts. Just Danny Roberts since he's gorgeous. My dog is checking out something.
If you're into the Real World, though, you should watch Flora Bama Shore, which I forgot to mention. It is back and better than ever because it's like the Real World on steroids.
I don't know, man. but also this week is Snatch Game for season 13, and I know who the contestants are, and it's gonna be bad. Because it got ruined for me, and everyone should just watch Drag Race UK. I like a lot of people on season 13. That's a whole other separate podcast, but I just think UK is so much better.
It is.
That's all.
All right. Well, you know, the all of the things that I mentioned for the past 2 weeks, I'm still plugging away at. But I'll add two things. I want to catch up to I Care a Lot. And I have a screener to Disney's Raya and the Last Dragon, which comes out on Disney Plus this Friday, which I will be reviewing for the site. And I just need to watch it. Cool. But today was taken up by the cruise. So.
Because crudes on a Monday.
How crude?
How crude?
Okay, Mary Kate. I did love the memes that have happened over the past week. There was like apparently people just discovered that Elizabeth Olsen is Mary Kate and Ashley's sister. Right.
Everyone's
I don't understand that. Like,
I'm like,
really? Come on, guys. And these are people who are like in their 30s. So they have the same face.
They look exactly alike.
Yeah.
They're also named the same. They have the same last name. Oh, well. What can you do?
Does that cover it?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get the hell out of here. So we are the 3Ms, contributors Joey Moser, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Clarence Moy. Thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.